Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, All Things Must Pass on an episode about the inevitable flow of time. Stephen Benequist plays retiring NPR host Roger Smeagol, rapping comedian Zach Sherwin shows off his clever wordplay, and singer-songwriter Andres Valenzuela performs.
All right. Faster, Julie. The average attention span is quickly shrinking.
Well, maybe we should make them stop and smell the roses.
This is radio, not smell-o-vision.
No, I meant that metaphorically.
This is radio, not metaphor-o-vision. We need to keep it punchy, you know, lots of jump cuts, documentary-style phone recordings. Really radio lab this thing up before they change the station. Life is short. People are busy. Take it from the top and keep it moving.
All right. Coming up on Attention Deficit Songbook, shiny things and loud songs.
Good, good.
Put your brain in a blender and hit pulse.
Perfect.
We're going to burn a whole hour of your precious life with Zach Sherwin, Stephen Benequist, and Andres Valenzuela.
Excellent.
From a constantly disintegrating now, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And as always on the other microphone, I keep getting older. She keeps staying the same age. Julie Van Dusen. All things must pass. Time moves forward, not sideways or backwards. Unless it's 1969, in which case, the medical tent is to the left of the stage. Yes, it always rolls ahead as particles decay through the days and weeks and months and years and decades, eons. What once was is inevitably not to be, eventually. Institutions fall like so much hair into the sink. Borders are redrawn. Babies become old men. Phones break free from the walls. Cars will someday fly, no matter how much your buggy horse says nay. There's no brakes on the spin of the world or the spread of the universe. And if you wait long enough, if you wait long enough, even the sun will swell up and disappear.
The chorus rolls along, passing bars in the song. Till the last refrain, the melody unchained, floating away, the quarter is gone.
We are funny monkeys, loose in time. The only thing around here hip to it happening, too. Well, I have seen a few elephants more. Well, they must know a little, but nothing like us. Ever since we scratched our backs on the monolith, well, we've been using our newfangled opposable thumbs to pull our hair out, watching time whiz by. Awake, awake in the sleeping universe. Aware. Yikes. And all that bigness, we got down to labeling it as it passed, right? Sun goes up, sun comes down. Days, years, sundials and gear-filled clocks, bits and bytes. Almost like we're trying to get a hold of it as it barrels along, holding onto the hand of the clock, shouting, wait up. Maybe it is important to measure it. Make it important, you know, valuable, so it doesn't slip past you. Mark it. Heck, this monologue has barely started, and well, I've already wasted 2 minutes and 42 seconds of your time. 44, 45, 46, 47.
The chorus rolls along, passing bars in the song, until the last refrain, the melody unchained, floating away, the quarter is gone.
And if you live long enough, you get to see things change around you. And if you're lucky to be born in interesting times, it changes quicker than Liberace in between sets. Like, if you were kicking it in the 1400s, say, bam, the printing press, it's a whole new world, right? All because Steve Gutenberg used that three men and a baby money to invent the printing press. Now, I may have the wrong Gutenberg, I don't know. I use Wikipedia to research this nonsense. I'm not accountable. There you go, Wikipedia. It didn't exist before we were born, right? We're in a big shift now, obviously. Computers, internet, social media, robots, and any day now, artificial intelligence is going to paint a whole new picture of the world overnight. And I'll be right there, shaking my cane and shouting about it. Just like my great-grandpa for the Industrial Revolution, or my dad when he found out bell-bottoms were going out of style. And it's exponential, you know, faster and faster and faster. The more we know, the faster we know more and faster and stop the world we want to get off.
Hung on a wire, swing higher and higher. I'm turning and twisted and tangling up in a tizzy. I'm dizzy from all of the spinning and ringing and ringing. The clock bells keep ringing nonstop.
The universe doesn't know from human time. Not the way we think of it. No. Time is just for us. Life. You crawl into it and out of it. Your head looks too big for your body on both sides. We try to keep up, but we wrinkle, our earlobes droop, and then we disappear. And along the way, we lose things too. The summer, it only lasts a few months, and then it's gone. There'll be another, but not like that exact one. No. But chin up. Everything ends, even bad times. If you don't get too caught up in the tow, be a nice ride along the way. Like a wave across the shores of history, and you crash and break, receding into the abyss, one with the whole ocean, and never again that wave. Like your grandma and her grandma and her dad, and forever back, all of us, into the beautiful big blue ocean of space and time, with a watermark left there on the beach from where we were. I think I just may have accidentally painted a Bob Ross painting. Excuse me. Now, we're going to live a little this week. We're going to see if we can't mark some time with an hour of songs, stories, maybe some sketches. Stick around. It'll inevitably end.
The chorus rolls along, passing bars in the song, until last refrain, melody unchained, floating away till the monologue's done.
Well, there's always a possibility that we'll freak someone out there. Maybe someone gets offended or upset. If you are concerned with something you hear on the air this week, you can contact me directly at TheJPHouston on Twitter. You never know, you just might get a response on the air. We're going to be joined in the studio this week by a great singer-songwriter from Riverside, California. Let's have a song from Andres Valenzuela.
Where do we all come from?
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
I'm Sasha Veneers, and you are up close. Cunning, revolutionary, ghostly, all words used to describe Thorn in the Establishment's chubby side, Julian Assange. Since his days as a gothy hacker in the Australian outback wrestling crocodiles, to his years in his luxurious 5x5 bachelor pad at the Ecuadorian embassy, the WikiLeaks bad boy has been loved by Democrats one and all, until suddenly everyone was supposed to hate him because he published incriminating evidence against their queen. I sat down with the little rascal to get to the meat at the center of the kernel in the eye of the storm of the middle of the onion inside the bologna sandwich. Julian. Jules. Juju. Would you say you're more of a journalist or an alt-right Russian colluder?
Our organization seeks to publish the truth.
The truth about your connections to Russia?
WikiLeaks is not a state-sponsored organization.
But Russia?
We have a perfect track record of authenticity.
Because Russia? With his eggshell complexion and his swoop of Aussie white locks, our leaky doughboy has this shop reporter wondering why he just doesn't go outside and get a little sun once in a while. Imprisoned inside the London embassy, Jules is quickly gaining a reputation as the guest who just wouldn't leave. With glitzy visitors like Pamela Anderson, leaving us all to ask, why not David Hasselhoff? I turned up the heat and tried to cook up a little truth burger in the spicy Ecuadorian grill. Julian, why is your best friend a cat?
A pet is a comfort in this kind of isolation.
And its name, Embassy Cat. Is that some kind of secret code?
It's a cat in an embassy, so...
So you're saying he's Russian?
It's a cat.
Why is he looking at me like that?
So we might rather discuss our...
Wait,
series
is the cat Russian too?
Releases we've been...
But I know a Russian cat when I see one.
Authenticating...
Oh, Lord, is he going to leak me? Oh, no, no, somebody get the torches. That cat is a Russian. Wait a minute, I've got it. He's running the show, isn't he? Oh, you're the puppet, Sasha, and he's the master. Okay, Russia, oh, look at his eyes. Watch out, Julian, I've got him. I'm Sasha Veneers, and I've completely lost it. Mentally. We'll be right back with Beyonce.
We're always excited when our old friend Zach Sherwin can join us on the program. He's a real wordsmith, great, clever, rapping comedian. So let's hear a song recorded earlier this month at one of our live tapings at the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead, Zach Sherwin.
This is the most introspective and navel-gazy rap that I've ever written, so come with me on this journey into my own psyche. DJ, let's do it. I drop bars so fast you'll be popping your neck as you whip your head following the Doppler effect. Let me stop for a sec. Dropping bars means rapping. You copy, correct? Okay, just a glossary check. All right then, let me switch gears and invite you to picture an item. Everybody envision a bicycle with the handlebars that are the type that you'll see curving around down low, like the kind you'll find on most road bikes. And I won't steer you false, no. Those are called drop bars also. So I wrote and I composed this ode devoted to the dopest components. Drop bar handles are the topic, man. I'm about to put it down like a kickstand. Had to drop bars about drop bars. Had to drop bar bars on the left and on the right, the front and the back. I want it hot tonight. I want hands to clap when I rock the mic with bike handle wraps. And I drop bars about drop bars. Okay, stop. Wait, please hold up. Deeply sorry to interrupt. I'm also Zach Sherwin, but not the one from the last verse. I'm a more mature version, and I want to say to myself, okay, drop bar thing, cute wordplay, but I gotta take a critical dig at this drivel. It's trivial and frivolous. Why pick topics like these when you could talk about the reasons you're a vegan, open up about your relationships, or even opine with a dope rhyme about current events? Choose to sink your teeth deep into chewy themes with true meaning you believe in. Get inspired. When you drop bars, set the bar higher. And don't drop bars about drop bars. Raise the bar when you drop bars. When they drop the beat, don't drop the ball with some wacky rap that's off the wall. Are bike handles important? Not at all. Raise the bar above drop and drop bar bars. Hang on, pause 1 second. I'm Zach 3 and I just gotta step in and say to number 2, you were on the right track until that chorus when you fell right back on the wordplay crutch. You couldn't resist. You had a good point, but you had to put a clever little twist on it. Lapse into absurdism. You're trapped in a word prison. Now at this point, you'd make the joke that if you were in word prison, you wouldn't want to drop the bar of soap. But am I gonna stoop that low? No. Guys, Zach number 4, hi. Hey, number 3, nice try. But even you couldn't restrain your brain from a pun, so don't front like you reframe. But look, I get it. I see where you're at. You want less whimsy in your act. Want to get away from language games to be more relevant. Well, it's great to develop and change, but fella, don't trip. For life, you're equipped with the verbal quip microchip. So it doesn't really matter if you matter be discussing what matters, because this is what your gray matter does automatically. So don't detest yourself, man. Accept yourself and express what's there, even if you couldn't care less. At least now you'll be doing it with self-awareness. Double down on the drop bar raps. Dedicate yourself to performing the task as well as it can be done. Here's Zach 5, who's also Zach 1. Whether you're an amateur or in the Tour de France, you will affirm drop bars are for sure phenomenal, superb equipment with the curve and dip that gets you sitting in a position that's ergonomical. They're aerodynamic. Man, you can exceed the speed at which an arrow flies, dang it. You could be a winner, eat anybody for dinner, but be careful if you ride them on the road and you're a beginner. They're a bit of an adjustment, but you're gonna fly on them once you're accustomed. You'll be going quick, not slow, with the grip drop low on the rap about the handles with the hip-hop flow. Had to drop bars about drop bars. Had to drop bar bars on the left and on the right, front and the back. I want it hot tonight. I need hands to clap when I rock the mic with bike handle wraps. And I drop bars about drop bars.
That was, of course, our good friend Zach Sherwin up at the Tudor House. What do you say we hear another song from Andres Valenzuela?
Looking for you, I put my heart upon my sleeve and let the pain.
It was once so that you aimed to produce as many offspring as possible. Odds were some wouldn't make it, and you needed as many child slaves as you could knock out. And somehow they wrapped it up in faith, right? If you didn't produce a chorus line's worth, well, you hadn't done your religious duty. 10, 12, 14 kids to wrangle. The only thing harder than feeding them was remembering all their names. With reformed Catholic parents, you would have thought my family would have reined it in a bit. You know, done the sensible thing for global warming's sake, maybe stop at two or three. But no, my 4'10" mother managed to produce at least 50 feet of children. Laid end to end with me at the last of nine, the very tail end of the fading Catholic tradition. Well, all around us, the world was settling on 2.5 kids as the magic number. And I'd always imagine that half kid there at the end, clinging to life. The far east end of Toronto was built on grassy hills, small Georgian brickers sticking up on an angle out of the street with maple leaf tree yards and bare icy in the cold winter moaning souls, dragging their boots along the slushy pavement up three steps to the half houses. Half houses, they were called semi-detached, which meant one side is an alleyway and the other side is a thin wall to the neighbor's place. With a sledgehammer, you could have made a reasonable-sized room, but as they stood, you had to squeeze everything in edgewise into a narrow two stories. Mom teetered atop six-inch heels. It was the only thing she could do to see eye to chin, and she had another 6 inches on top with an Italian perm that you could stuff a full door frame on the way through. I outgrew her by 7, and we outnumbered her by 8, so she'd spin on her heels to keep pace. And when you tripped her up, she'd give you heck if she could get to your name after a full run through every other one of your siblings' names. She almost never, Lauren, Dean, Dave, Melissa, Dan, Michelle, Nick, she never got to the right one. And if she did, it'd be too late, because you'd already be laughing. The early part of the 80s, they didn't glow like they would in a few years. It was still muted tones, not yet neon and spandex. You were working class tough in jeans to be cool, and you feathered your bangs like a bird and wings on the side. Now, if you ran fast, you'd fly. Unless you were under 10, in which case it was a stock long bowl cut. Boy or girl, it didn't matter, bowl cut. You went through the Supercuts conveyor belt, and you got stamped standard issue TV kit bowl cut. Out the other end on a banana seat bicycle and off a cliff. At my house, well, you had to fight for attention, right? It was an all-out war to claw through the heaping mass of offspring, just to get a little affection in the end. You had to learn the moves, you know, play a good crying hand with a fake knee scrape. And, you know, at an up-and-coming Christmas or birthday, well, you had to submit it in writing. You don't skip on the specifics. No, you have to include your name, birthday, passport photo to remind your mother which one you are. make it perfectly clear what you want, or else, you know, without the proper paperwork or pestering you, you were liable to wind up with your sister's doll. Comedy back then was just what it was. Before the postmodern age, before the meta-monsoon of self-referential spirals, a joke was just a knee slapper, and someone fell down, and you laughed. A play on words turned a corner, and you chuckled. Conway ripped his pants, and you broke like Corman. Airplane gags killed, and a magician could do a good cup and ball routine, and it'd still confound you. Magic was magic, and funny was funny, and everyone was in on the same bit. There were only three channels. It was a big collective experience, and for better or for worse. I guess you could argue either side. I figured out quick that the best way for eyeballs was one of those good routines. Now, if you wanted some of that sweet, sweet attention, you had to dance or sing or ham bone on high. The more dinner table stage time you got, the more folks would remember your name the next day. Now, a solid hit on the first try name attempt the following day was like an Academy Award. The culture wars were whitewashing away the old ways. The hippies had shouted free love in the streets and burned their bras and crammed an electric guitar up into folk music. A forgotten truth of that revolution, though, the forgotten truth of it was that it was born of marketing dollars. The boomers, they got the spotlight, well, because the middle class was born in the 1950s. All those extra wads of cash were up for grabs, right? So, well, they figured out a way to the parents' dollars, and it was through the kids' allowance money. So they got all the attention, and they had all the numbers, and they just ran with it. Did some good, but, well, they trampled a lot of valuable things in their path, I think. Things like, you know, a good work ethic, or a clarinet solo, or wearing your pants up at your nipples. Those older things, they barely held on, you know, with cobwebs and grumpy minds, and who can really blame them for shaking their canes? Dementia comes on slow. A missed word, you know, keys misplaced. They used to call it just senility, right? Or maybe just plain getting old. And I was fading away, too. See, Mom was working longer hours, and there was a run of sibling birthdays, a few months long, and a brother's prom, and a sister's measles, and another A-plus from another sister. Well, she hadn't hit my name right in weeks, Nick, Melissa, Dave, Dean, Michelle, Lord, nothing. She'd never get there. And I was just a blur passing on by in the side view mirror. Oh, no. Oh, no. I better come up with something fast before I cease to exist, right? So, all right, I'll help her unload the groceries. Oh, good job, Mike, Dean, Melissa. No, nothing. A free foot rub, you know, bowl cut, peeking over the edge of the couch, blocking the TV a little. Raise my eyebrows, huh? 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 Oh, that's nice, Melissa, Dave, Michelle. No. Come on. I put a whole damn adorable routine on for her book club. I let those fat ladies pinch my cheeks blue. Hilarious, Dean, Nikki, Dave, Michelle. Oh, come on. Take the money from the nightstand and crawl up to bed and in shame with swollen chipmunk cheeks. The cognitive decline occurs step by step. The blood doesn't flow so well anymore. Small strokes build up, and they start to take those clusters of neurons away, and the memories of things before, inside those old-timers, they disappear. It happens to all of us if we give it enough time. A few different names, diagnosis, I suppose, senility, dementia. But it's all the same. The clock winds down on the era, and the mind, and the memories, they swirl out in a whirlwind and up into the sky. It became a veritable Ahab's wail for me. Out on the sea of kids, desperately hunting for my Moby Dick. A simple acknowledgement of my actual existence. The correct name, my measly two-letter name, is all she had to say. I fashioned a name tag out of whiteout directly on my shirt, and she just smudged it with her thumb. Dave, Mish, Millis, Nick, oh, something. Look over me. Look, I'm singing and I'm dancing. I got a stupid wig and a somersault. Ta-da, very funny. Dave, Millis, Nick, Danielle, Dean, oh, come on. She didn't even land on the right gender, you know. I know my bowl cut is getting long, but come on. I laid my bets on the big one. The Friday night, welcome home, enjoy your weekend mom spa. Replete with a fake mustache and a French accent. Welcome at the door, crayon-drawn menu. This way, young lady. Carry her bags to the kitchen, guard her to the chair. Un amuse-bouche for mademoiselle. Plate of her favorite licorice. Press play on the library's tape recorder. Awesome, relaxing Glenn Miller. Enjoy his mood, young lady, and Watch carefully as I empty the dishwasher. Uh-huh. A glass of wine for Madame and a relaxing shoulder rub. Oh, there she goes. She's starting to drift off. Come on, you can do it. She's almost got it. Come on, her head bobs. Hilarious jokes. Remember, I start with a J. I'm the one that, yeah, I dance, I say, oh, that's right. Her legs dip, and you can do it. Come on, she's falling asleep. That's it, a couple of letters, you could do it. This is thank you, that's right. Thank you, sweet existence, here it comes. Thank you, the youngest one. And she's out cold. All right, I'll take it. The youngest one, that was the right person. So up there in her chair, now, as Mom's memory really does fade, and it goes this time, like it will for you and me. The way old age sweeps away the years and stirs them up past her eyes and on the way out forever. Yesterdays and memories, and there I go dancing by one more time for a smile and a name close enough.
Days gone by, fading old souvenirs, wax and wane in the echoing years. There we are, playing catch with the sun and shooting jacks with the stars, back when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. A longtime public radio broadcaster is retiring, so we thought we'd do him the honor of changing stations and listening in on the very last episode of Small Things Considerable with Roger Smeagol.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Small Things Considerable. I'm your host, Roger Smeagol. That's the last time you'll hear me say those words, except at the end of this broadcast, when I sign off for the last time. And of course, should you listen to recordings of any of the previous broadcasts of this show. For 30 years, it's been my job to read you the news, and today, I'm retiring. As in, no longer working, not shy and retiring, which I've been all of my life, since I was a toddler. On this, my last show, I think it only appropriate to have a look at what it all means, and maybe just a little bit of how I feel about it. My job, in a nutshell, has been to read the newspaper to you out loud, so that you can drive your car, or wash your dishes, or pick your toes, for all I know. But there's a lot more to it than that, simmering beneath the stovetop range. Most importantly, I have to employ a neutral tone. This serves several key purposes. Number one, to obscure any hint of a bias, so that you don't know how I personally feel about the news I'm reading to you, in case you don't feel the same way. Number two, it helps to make sure you don't freak out over the information I'm delivering, and certainly to mask, if it is true, the fact that I also am freaking out. On the other hand, I have to show just enough emotion to signal an appropriate response to news that, frankly, any non-robot would know was good or bad news. You should be able to tell, even through a wall, where all you hear is tone and not words, whether I am talking about a dog shelter getting a $1 million donation, or if it's 9/11. However, you should have no idea from my tone who won the 2016 presidential election. Here's a sample sentence. My voice rises to draw in your ape-like attention, then modulates back and forth. You don't know quite what I'm saying. And then I bring it up and down. The news is delivered. And the rest, to quote the late great rapper Guru from Gangstar, is mostly the voice. That's T-H-A, voice. Many listeners have written in over the years to say how much they love it, that it soothes them, that my voice is smooth, like a sip of Kentucky bourbon. Smooth, like the leather of a Chesterfield in the Harvard Club. Smooth like other things that evoke mid-20th century masculinity, which is, given my age, completely appropriate. So to thank you, listeners, I'd like to read you a list of your top 12 favorite words for me to say. Estuary. Elizabethan. Fudge. Hassenpfeffer. Boone's Farm. Hullabaloo. Dog Dog. Fellow Horatio. Circus Fat. Irritable Bowel Syndrome. Chillaxing. Tween Disruptor. Those are the top 12 words. As you listen to this voice, the Cadillac on the lot full of junkers of NPR, maybe for the last time, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you'd better savor these last few minutes. I don't know if you've noticed, but NPR has got a lot of mush mouths. Geniuses, in many cases, honest to gosh, smarties, but oh boy, we here at the national public value smarts far above diction, cadence, enunciation, speech impediments. We've got a lot of lisping mush mouths. Even basic social etiquette. We got people who open interviews with, "Hi!" They're interviewing a Nobel-winning physicist, and they sound like they're at a GD sleepover. Where is the dignity? While we're on that, there's just a few little things I'd like to get off my chest that bug me about my beloved NPR. These informal greetings, for one. That's part of a general pattern of fluffiness that has blossomed over the last couple of years. I mean, come on. Do we need one more comedy music variety show? Come on! And those fun weekend shows, that thing where they repeat 10 different people saying the same phrase as if it makes it more profound. 1 year later. 1 year later. 1 year later. Played out. And the totally dead way of getting out of any piece you run out of time for, well, we'll just have to leave it there. We'll just have to leave it there. You're an investigative journalist. Come on! And lastly, the overused use of the word legendary. I've been called a legendary broadcaster. That one really bugs me because I am not legendary. I exist. I am a human being, not a Sasquatch. A character in a novel by the great Zimbabwean writer Charles Mungoshi said this about broadcast journalists, and I'm paraphrasing, that a person who is paid to talk for a living is evil and not to be trusted. I believe the esteemed author's point is that speech is sacred and should not be motivated by money. But to that I would say, and do say, here and now, in a second, just as soon as this dependent clause comes to an end, and I then continue to make my point, which is this, I say, yes, but why separate speech from actions? Is not speech a form of action, especially in today's age of global communication, where many of us have the job of talking in one form or another? When money drives us to speak or act, at your job, say, we must ask ourselves, am I okay with what I'm saying or doing? Regardless of pay, would I do this if no one was paying me and still be okay with it? Whether you be a garbage collector, a hitman, a lady of the night, a Fox News pundit, I'm repeating myself. A better question is not just, am I okay with this, but what is the best way I could be spending my life? And then, after the answer to that question, figure out if you can do it without starving. Listeners, I have asked myself that question, and I'm about to go find the answer. For Small Things Considerable, I'm Roger Smeagol, and I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there.
Well, we can't fool you. That was, of course, our good friend, comedian Stephen Benequist, with his great character, Roger Smeagol. We have just about enough time for one more song from Andres Valenzuela.
I wanna be buried by St. Francis and Luna in the sky. Come on down, don't come at all. And when I get back, you'll hear me around. If you think that death is the end, please call your congressman and tell them love, love ain't never gonna die. 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 So if you think that death is try to sing your name, all the beautiful memories turn to pain. So if the flower's gone and Jupiter's kiss floated down and told me to quit, I wanna live, I wanna die, I wanna be buried by St. Francis and Luna. Come on down, don't come at all. And when I get back, you'll hear me around. If you think that death is the end, please call your congressman and tell them love.
Love ain't never gonna die. Love ain't never gonna die.
Gonna die. If you think that death is the end, please call your congressmen and tell them love. Love ain't never gonna die. Oh, love ain't never gonna die. Love ain't never gonna die. Love ain't never gonna die.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company. Presented by KVCR and available on PRX.
You Wendell!
Can find information about the Wendell. Program on our website.
Wendell!
Oh, all right, but make it quick. I was about to take a bite of the most delicious dream sandwich.
Well, stop dreaming about hoagies and tell me why I can't open my eyes.
Were it only your mouth stuck shut, I might actually get some sleep for once.
Ha, ha, ha. Will you just tell me why I can't open my eyes?
Well, against the wishes of our legitimately credentialed general practitioner, you proceeded with yet another eye lift surgery.
Dr. Stein is perfectly credentialed. His diploma from the legitimate College of Ghana is hanging right on his wall.
Ironically, but not surprisingly, it's not a legitimate college.
Oh, you're just jealous because you have gone right on aging while I stay young and fresh.
Vacuum tight.
Well, I was due for an eye lift. It's been 8 months.
At this pace, Martha, you'll be seeing out of your nostrils by the spring.
Oh, maybe that'll work. I'll try it. No, all I see is pink gauze.
Yes, it's under that gold leaf tape.
Dr. Stein only uses the most fashionable medical supplies.
The hallmark of a qualified surgeon. Still, I can't believe you managed to find a plastic surgeon actually named Dr. Frank Stein.
I don't get it.
Tighten the bolts on your neck. It'll come to you.
My neck lift isn't until next month.
Will you be having another OR party?
Well, that wasn't a party. That was an extravaganza.
It's not customary to have cocktails in the operating room.
But Dr. Frank needs something to take the edge off.
He needs 20 of your friends, a DJ, a sushi buffet, and a monkey in a tuxedo.
Mango is Dr. Frank's right-hand man.
Well, that explains the banana-shaped scalpel.
That's hilarious.
Dangerous.
Oh, come on. You know I do this for every major tune-up.
But the film crew, Martha.
It's for Frank's new reality show.
So you're willing to be exploited for a few lousy cable minutes?
I'm an actress, Wendell.
You haven't worked since that Sunday night movie in 1983.
And I would have won an Emmy for Casablanca Part 2 if it wasn't for Sally Struthers chewing up the scenery.
Her performance was fine.
No, Wendell, she literally chewed up the scenery.
It was 1983, Martha. Don't you think it's about time to let it go?
An A-lister never relinquishes a grudge. It's one of Joan Crawford's 10 rules for success.
What's number 9? Always have Keith Richards perform at a surgery?
No. Keith was the anesthesiologist.
Why was he holding a guitar?
Do you really think that Keith Richards can tell the difference between a guitar and medical equipment?
And that explains the finale, when they wheeled you out singing.
I can't get no banana action!
Ugh, you can-canning out the double doors, gown flying off behind you.
Every operation has to end with a burlesque.
All that dancing, Martha, it can't be good for recovery.
Oh, I'm indestructible, Wendell.
No, dear, that's just it. For all your gusto, your zest, and your vigor, you, just like the rest of us, are perfectly human.
Well, you got the perfectly part right.
And modest.
That's another thing I'm great at.
Yes, Martha. But you do want to be great at it for as long as possible, yes?
Wendell, I'm only 1920. What year is it?
40 years since Casablanca 2.
What?
Yes, dear. You are what we call a nonagenarian.
I'm from outer space?
No, a person in the 90s.
The 1990s?
Oh, your age in years.
Well, no wonder he had to double stitch the lids.
Oh, Schmarty, it's okay. It's perfectly natural. We all get old. I'm afraid that youth is a losing fight.
But Dr. Stein says he could make a 100-year-old look 55.
Maybe outside, but inside, Martha, I'm afraid that clock keeps on ticking. Time is time, Martha.
But I don't want to be old. I don't want to disappear.
Oh, don't think of it as disappearing. Think of it as graciously moving on, leaving a little space for the next group of wild-eyed dreamers. Think of it as the final act of another one of your great pictures. The sun slowly sets and the credits roll. And just like those pictures, you, your memory, the mark you made in this world, well, it lives on through others.
Well, if you put it that way.
Yes, dear. You see, all things must pass.
I suppose. But what is the harm in looking good on the way by?
Oh, nothing, I guess. As long as my little pumpkin seed isn't in any danger.
Oh, all right. I'll cancel my ear lift next week.
Thank you. You know that I want the longest possible third act with you.
As long as you still think I'm beautiful with these dangly old earlobes.
Oh, till they're all the way down to the floor.
You really know how to woo a girl.
It's what I do best.
No, what you do best is sing.
Well, then, yeah. How about a nice nightcap number? Maybe I'll sing something from Cole Porter.
No. If the night is going to end, there's only one way to close it out. Your song, My Lullaby.
Ah, yes, of course, dear.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, tide. All your fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say, though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.